Oh, Danny boy, the pipes, the pipes are calling.
Anybody who's booed Danny Ainge in the past is like me. They've been made a fool out of. But as last year turned into this year, fans that were skeptical started calling Danny, you know, the modern day Red Hour back again.
Tis you, must go and I must bide. But come ye back when summer's in the meadow, or when the valley's hush and white with snow. Tis I'll be here in sunshine or in shadow. Oh, Danny boy, oh, Danny boy, I love you so.
This is With an Ohio Bias, a podcast for real fans with D and Jake. Even though the Cavs lost, we're still excited and very excited to have Nick Gelso from the CLNS Media Group. And he's going to help us figure out how the Celtics are going to basically change the NBA offseason. So welcome to the podcast, Nick.
Thanks, guys. It's good to be here. I hope you guys may be helping me at this point with all these crazy rumors going around. I don't know what to believe, but I'm happy to be here and kind of try to sort it out a little bit.
Yeah, Nick, one of the reasons we wanted to get you on is we really believe that, you know, what, you know, Danny Ainge and the Celtics are going to do, like I kind of said, is going to dictate, you know, the rest of the NBA offseason, especially now with the rumors that you mentioned. But just for folks that might not be familiar with you, we have a big, you know, following of Ohio, but for Celtics fans and NBA hardcore junkies, what can people find at CLNS Media? You guys do more than just the Celtics, right?
Oh my God, yeah. Well, we tend to have a large following in the Celtics community because that's where we started around 10 years ago, covering only the Celtics. But now it's really all sports with a strong emphasis on NBA, and we've even started to open up non-sports categories. You can download our mobile app, CLNS Media Network. Just search it in your app store. Yeah, the YouTube channel has all the video and audio. So see youtube.com/CLNS Media. And, yeah, man, it's been a crazy ride the last couple of years. We've really grown. I mean, we do cover the Cavs. We have a Cavs Nation podcast, so check that out. And we were out your way for the playoffs. We traveled with the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals, so that was a lot of fun too. So good to be back with the Cleveland folks.
Yeah, I've heard you guys ask some great questions too in those post-game pressers, unlike the Cleveland media, which we don't have time to go in on this right now. So no names, Chris Fedor. No names, Chris Fedor. Nick, just real quick, drop your social media link just so people can follow along if they want to search anything and your Twitter handle, things like that right now.
The network's handle is @CLNS Media and my handle is @CLNS_Nick.
Give us an update on Isaiah Thomas. We know he had the hip injury that kind of took him out in that last game in the game three versus the Cavs. Where is he at health wise?
Yeah. I mean, it's been pretty mum. It's been quiet. So that's a good sign for Isaiah. And, you know, I mean, I think he's going to be back with the Celtics next year, at least until the trade deadline, if Danny doesn't get him to sign for a hometown discount, which I think he'll take. I don't know if you've noticed, he's been going back on a recruiting effort this summer, similar to what he did last year with Durant and Horford, and now kind of doing it with Hayward and Griffin and some of these guys around the league who are looking to make some moves. So Isaiah's still in the fold. I mean, the hip injury is concerning just because of the physicality in which he plays. He's all over the floor. But we're hoping that he bounces back fairly quick, recuperates, and is ready for first month of the regular season.
Nick, you take a look at this team and, you know, where it's at as far as trying to move towards the championship. You know, obviously you're addressing needs every year and you just talked about the recruiting trip. Obviously the first overall pick. What are the Celtics' needs and how much is that going to change based on where this draft pick actually ends up being?
Danny Ainge is the king of saying you draft the best player. You don't draft for need, you draft the best player. You know, the Celtics' needs right now, they are a perimeter-oriented team with poor perimeter shooters. So they definitely need to add a sharpshooter. And they are really, I think everybody was exposed in the playoffs, decimated in the paint. So a viable big would be a huge help for Boston. And I'm certain Danny Ainge is looking for both. He has the cap space. So hopefully that's the case. Now, the rumors between Philly and Boston when trading that draft pick, I was just speaking with somebody this morning, and they're starting to cool down. So I think everybody just kind of jumped the gun yesterday. Danny Ainge is a king of smokescreens. I feel like for some reason, and I can't figure out how, but I just feel like he's punking Magic, being kind of sandwiched in between Philly and Boston. I can't see Danny Ainge. I mean, I can because he's done it. But at this time in the franchise's evolution towards contention, I can't see him trading just that first round pick or that number one pick just for future top 10 picks or just one. Now, if he gets multiple and has the ability to draft Josh Jackson at number three to pick up Philly's first-round pick and LA's next year, well, then the Celtics are looking at 2018, you know, clearing out some cap space, picking up some free agents, bringing in Jackson, and then next year going into the draft with really three top 10 unprotected picks. I mean, that's pretty this year was unprecedented. Next year could be even more. You know, guys, I mean, I've been covering this team since 2009, and I've gotten to a point where, you know, you could speculate yourself to death, especially this time of year. I enjoy this time of year because I just kind of sit back and watch everybody go haywire while, you know, I'm just waiting on what Danny Ainge does. Because every time I doubt the dude, he makes me look like an idiot. So I'm just not going to doubt him. He's got some sort of plan going right now. These guys just told you the needs they need to address. And I feel like Danny Ainge is going out to address those needs. I mean, otherwise, you see him just bringing in a guy like Hayward, which really does – it addresses the sharpshooting angle but doesn't help in the paint. It's kind of a redundant position because the Celtics do have good players in those positions. So I think Danny is just testing the waters. He's got the most valuable, obviously most valuable pick in the draft. He has the rights to any of whomever you put in that number one slot, Fox, you know, Ball, Fultz. Danny holds the keys to all of those. So I think he has cap space. The one wrinkle that's thrown into this is because the finals, I think it's because the finals were done in five games. I believe that had some implication on the cap where it didn't go up quite as much as the Celtics expected it to. So they're still a little bit away from that max deal level to be able to get two max players. So that could factor into trading the pick too, because they're not required to pay quite as much money on that rookie deal for a number three pick as opposed to a number one pick. So there's so much going on. I just sit back and watch and kind of have a good time with it.
Now, us in Cleveland, we know how rabid the Celtics fans are. I mean, you know what I'm saying? it's a mutual respect from, you know, fandom, but, you know, it gets a little out of hand. Sometimes we have to, you know, go at them. But nevertheless, I bring it up to say this. Are the fans, when we talk about Danny Ainge, what's the patience level? You know, like, I mean, they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. You know what I'm saying? But like you said, they kind of – you see some of the holes of what the team really needs there, at least on the court. Danny Ainge has all – like you talked about all the stuff that – all the possibility he has. But at some point, you got to, like, stop sitting on your hands and stop looking like the great genius and actually make a move. So are the fans losing any patience or
– Last year, I think there was a lot of impatience. I mean, it kind of all goes back to Whit Grosbeck's fireworks comment a couple years back. And the Jaylen Brown pick was the first time I ever heard boos in TD Garden for both Ainge and Wick. The fans are pretty much in love with this front office, but Celtics fans are fickle. They're either winning the championship. You know, tonight they're winning the championship. Tomorrow they're blowing it up. So I think if Danny does trade that number one pick, especially if it doesn't involve player personnel moving, And in the highly unlikely circumstance that they don't make any moves on draft night, you may hear some boos again. But anybody who's booed Danny Ainge in the past is like me. They've been made a fool out of. I mean, he just seems to – I mean, I can't see trading away Larry Bird. I mean, Danny traded away Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. And everybody was kind of like, what is this? I mean, the astute basketball fans knew the implications of the picks he was picking up from the Nets. But as last year turned into this year, fans that were skeptical started calling Danny, you know, the modern-day Red Auerbach again. And I think as of right now, that's how Celtics Nation feels, kind of like, let's see what this guy has up his sleeve. And it helps that the ESPN 30 for 30 just came out, which they hailed Red Auerbach in the first two parts, because now all of a sudden every teenage fan thinks they know Red, which is great. So they're kind of just saying, all right, well, Danny's the modern-day Red Auerbach. Let's see what kind of tricks he has up his sleeve. In regards to sitting on his hands, Danny's a patient guy. I also think that's a product of some of the – I mean, Danny's undressed a couple GMs between Jay Crowder, Isaiah Thomas, the Nets picks. People are kind of a good GM or a mediocre GM is hesitant to do anything with Danny Ainge because he seems to duke a lot of people, you know. So I think that might be part of the sitting on the hands thing. There has to be some legs to the Butler Griffin rumors because they've been going. The Griffin rumors have been going on every season since Doc left. So I don't know if I like the move, but I do believe there might be some validity to that. Again, guys, this is all just speculation.
What would Jimmy Butler be like for the Celtics? I mean, how would that?
I don't know.
With Avery Bradley there, like, how does that?
I don't. I was never. I mean, I like Butler's game. I don't think he's a. He's not going to. Butler, Horford, and Isaiah aren't going to take the Celtics past your Cavs, especially if LeBron stays put. I wasn't real impressed having. Being able to follow Jimmy Butler through the first round of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big body language guy, character guy. Just watching Jimmy on the podium, I'm really impressed with him from a leadership standpoint. But I think we all know his talents, and we also all know Brad Stevens' ability to be able to draw out the best in players, and Butler already has an amazing game. He's already an all-star, so I really don't know. And as far as Avery Bradley goes, I mean, is Avery Bradley worth $20 million, $17 million? To me, I say yes, but not at the risk of losing the ability to sign a ball. So here we go again, guys. We're speculating, doing a lot. A lot is going to unfold next week. I can't wait.
All right, so let's get away from the speculating. I want to ask about what – the reaction was to this season being, you know, first place in the Eastern Conference, everything smelling like roses, and you're sitting on that asset of Brooklyn's pick, and I'm sure there was some clamoring around the trade deadline to make a move with it. What were the fans' reaction when he didn't make a move with it? Are they still on board with as far as this is a guy that can help us? Because you look at around the NBA, there aren't a lot of impact first-year rookies. There wasn't any this year in my mind. So, in Philadelphia's had the first pick forever. So, how important is this first-round draft pick, or this first overall draft pick? And is this something that the fans felt like should have been moved on for an actual player already?
Anybody who was pissed off at the trade deadline or disappointed, I think, had their hopes resurrected on lottery night. You know, I mean, you get the number one pick, first time Celtics ever had that. I don't know that Fultz is a transcendent player like Durant or LeBron, but he's certainly an impact player. He's the future. He could be the future of the franchise. So, again, it's a situation where, you know, at the trade deadline, I think there was some disappointment. But then again, like I said, Danny made everybody kind of look like a goof. Not that he controlled the ping pong balls, but they went in the Celtics' favor. And let me tell you, the Celtics were sitting in the Eastern Conference final, or going into the Eastern Conference Finals. We were at the practice facility in Waltham when the lottery balls were picked. Danny Ainge had that shit-eating grin on that he had when he was a player. You know, it just like he had a lot. He has something up his sleeve. So fans, as impatient maybe as they've been in the – how could Celtics fans be impatient? In 2014, this team was last in the East or somewhere in that vicinity. And 3 years later, they're fighting against LeBron in the Eastern Conference Finals, which was house money, because most Celtics analysts and fans didn't have them getting out of the second round. Celtics fans are very smart, guys. They know the Celtics were not a one seed this year. They may have been in record, but they know that that was that was a regular season record, and it did not apply to the playoffs. The Cavaliers were by far the better team.
Not the ones that I argue with on Twitter don't know that, Nick. But
you get into that, you could be going all day long, right?
We really never understand that in Cleveland, just because, I mean, you do have the Bruins, you got the Patriots, of course, and then the Celtics, great legacy in the NBA. Even with the showcase, you just talked about the great 30 for 30, the way that they used to own the Fakers. Still, they want to go at Cavs fans coming off their first championship ever in 52 years and tell us how great their team is being, so-called first in the Eastern Conference Finals. But let's not get, stuck down that rabbit hole.
Because let's look at the demographics of who's probably – probably 13 to 16-year-olds. I mean, they don't even remember the 2008 championship struggles, in beating the Celtics in the late, or first part of the first decade of the century. You know what I mean? Like the LeBron, and I'll tell you what, I was the biggest LeBron hater who I'm still not in love with some of his character, some of the stuff he says. I'm not in love with him, but my God, as a player, I mean, this guy is just, I don't know what he is. I mean, even though they lost in five games, let me ask you guys this, because I'm getting asked this a lot. Are we seeing LeBron on the plateau that's about to start turning on the downside? I mean, in this NBA Finals,
the short answer is no, because until he loses athleticism, that's when you'll see it. But even then, and I mean, not to go into a whole Finals thing, but we're still dealing with it. If the guy goes in the post, he becomes a stopper. I was just listening to the Road Tripping podcast with Channing Frye and Richard Jefferson, and they were kind of joking. He's like, nobody can score on me in the post besides Shaquille O'Neal in his prime and Jesus. But also, too, if he's in the post, that series becomes different, because he can then pile up the fouls on whoever he's playing. And that's my thing. You become an advantage in a mismatch that's unguardable. So when his game transitions to that, it's almost like 2K. He unlocks another badge.
My biggest frustrations with LeBron over the years has been I don't like to watch the Celtics I don't like to watch any team play the Cavs because of the amount of whistles. I mean, the amount of whistles is the start and stop. I mean, look at game.
Did you see game four of the NBA Finals? Yeah, I was just about to say.
I'm going to be honest with you. Tim Donaghy, I don't know if you remember Tim.
Oh, yeah. But he was on Cleveland radio the morning of that game. Yeah,
he texted. Well, I probably said the same thing. He texted me that morning and said 30 fouls on 30 fouls before halftime, and I think they had 20 in the first quarter. 20 foul shots. I mean, it's so hard as an NBA kind of like purist, I guess, to watch that. It's very, very hard. So I kind of can agree with you that LeBron in the post, just give him the ball, let him stand still, and the refs will blow the whistle. My thing with LeBron is, it seemed to me in covering the Eastern Conference Finals, and I covered 2010 and 11 when he was still on the incline with the Cavs and then with Miami, the big difference, having watched him in several consecutive games, is that LeBron seems to pick his spots more than ever now. Do you guys notice that?
Oh, yeah. He has a better feel for how to affect the game than he was always trying to find it back then. And he was literally, pounding nails into the court while you could see the hamster on the wheel then. Now there's literally – it's like breathing for him to find those opportunities to take over games, to get other people involved. Like when he gets it when he can feel out a game faster than he ever could back when he was younger.
The problem with LeBron, and you saw it in the finals, is – guys like Kevin Love kind of shrink. I mean, he was phenomenal in the Eastern Conference Finals. And LeBron can sit back and pick his spots. But in the NBA Finals, he shrunk again. I mean, I think Kevin Love is not coming back. I don't know what you guys think, but let's
– And we're so happy to be joined by Nick Gelso of CLNS Media. The one thing about the Finals, Love wasn't the only guy to shrink. I mean, we got a guy that played power forward. We got guys two guard that didn't show up to three or four or five. You know what I mean? Kyrie struggled game one and two. That Cavs team,
it's like they didn't play well until game three, and that wasn't even good enough. And then because of that last 3 minutes, whatever that was, debacle of that game, and then they didn't start figuring out what they wanted to do till it was too late, and that Warriors team's too good to do that against. Like, they had to come out the gates in game one, play the way they did in game three and four, and maybe then that series goes differently. So, but when we talk about the Cavs and even, like, Kevin Love and things like that, I think the draft prospects are so important. You kind of touched on Markelle Fultz, some of these other guys in the draft, who can fit best for the Celtics, and then also, too, who's just some guys that you think – you talked about Jackson. I think he's going to be a tremendous player, but who's a guy, like, easily to say, who's the next Jaylen Brown? Show that he can fit in the NBA very quickly, but still show the ceiling, too, that he has a lot to learn.
Well, obviously, Fultz. I mean, we just had LeVar Ball on one of our podcasts, Lakers Nation podcast, yesterday, and listening to LeVar, I don't care how high Lonzo's ceiling is, I just don't want to deal with that drama. I'm one of those guys. I really like Fox. I've liked him all season. I think he's from everything I've seen and heard from people around the league, he's a vocal guy. He's charismatic and he has leadership abilities. Fultz kind of is very shy, everything I've experienced, and I from what I hear, he didn't have a good workout with the Celtics, that one and only workout. And then he immediately went and worked out for the Lakers, so I think that it was kind of pronounced. Now he's out in Philly. So I would say Fox, Ball. I like Josh Jackson, but he's got some baggage in, you know, the stuff with his girlfriend.
Yeah.
But ceiling-wise, I mean, it's kind of – isn't it a toss-up in that top five? They're all really – bring different things to the table. They're all very talented. And I don't think, again, any of them are transcendent players, but I do think they are impact players in the way that you put any one of those top four on the Celtics, they're going to get Jaylen Brown-type minutes right from the start. The Fultz thing I love because of the combination. I think it works with Isaiah. And I think that's everybody's concern. But to me, I think it allows Isaiah to play a little more off the ball, a little less pressure on Isaiah in that backcourt. I think they could coexist fairly well. They both play well off the ball.
I got to say something real quick. Me and Jake both talked about, Fox after that loss that Kentucky suffered in the tournament. Mm-hmm. And him, that scene, I mean, a lot of times we, you know, rag on people for crying and whatnot. But those tears, mm-hmm. That was tears of, like, wanting to compete better and, like, him hugging his teammate. That's the kind of things that you talked about leadership. That's the kind of thing that you will see at the podium after games, you know, that will develop into something greater. If that makes sense.
That makes total sense. I saw, and I'm an old school guy. I mean, I saw Larry Bird with his hand in his head in his hands in 79. You know, I mean, I'm not comparing Fox to Bird by any means, but that kind of raw emotion is not a bad thing if it's controlled. And you're looking for the Celtics, if they keep that draft pick, they're looking for a player to not just make a difference in the next decade, but also to lead the franchise. So I think Fox fits that mold. Josh Jackson comes – I've obviously been familiar with him, but I know what he brings. But I almost think it's a little bit redundant. I don't know. I'm more of a Fultz Fox guy. But I think Danny's going to – if he's going to trade to the three, it's probably going to be Jackson.
One quick follow-up. Any trepidation with Fultz because he really couldn't even get his team out of the Pac-12 tournament and in the NCAA tournament?
No. If anything, I think that we did not see Markelle Fultz's full ability, especially defensively. I've been watching a lot of tape on him. And defensively, he seemed to play down to his team because his team was not a great defensive team. But he had some great defensive moments. And I think that getting into a winning culture around Brad Stevens, around Danny Ainge, and just you guys, I mean, I don't know if you cover the Cavs and if you've been to TD Garden, there's just an environment, a winning culture, and I think Fultz would rise to the occasion in that. I see no trepidation in regards to Washington's record or lack of performance in March.
So we're talking to Nick Gelso, CLNS Media. Nick, so it sounds like Fultz or Fox is your guy. So who would you go ahead and take with the first pick, and what do you think Danny's going to end up doing with the first pick?
If Danny doesn't trade that number one pick, he's picking Fultz. Let's play this sound clip back on Thursday and see how he punks us all, because that's what he does. But if he's keeping that number one pick, it goes back to you draft the best player available, and that's Markelle Fultz. I don't think it's Lonzo Ball, though he's so unique and so fun to watch. There's a lot of questions there. I mean, look at his shot.
I hate that form. He shoots from his belly button. It's crazy.
Well, right. And it worked out for Kawhi Leonard and changed, but that doesn't work out normally.
It didn't work out for Michael Kidd-Gilchrist down there.
Oh, at all. And so that's a really good point. So, you know, I mean, I think that Markelle is – he's the guy, man. He's the man. The Celtics fans usually want to see a trade. Last year they wanted to see a trade so bad for that number three pick. They did not want to pick it. This year Celtics fans want Markelle Fultz. I want Markelle Fultz. We'll see what happens.
I think a Fultz, Jaylen Brown, I don't know.
Could you imagine?
That to me is more appealing than the Fultz, Isaiah Thomas backcourt. But
well,
you know,
yeah, in the short term, the Isaiah Fultz combination is going to be more impactful in the short term. In the long term, you're looking at Jaylen, Fultz, and next year's Nets pick. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, that future, regardless of what Danny does, is so bright. So, you know, I just can't wait to get Thursday over with and then get into free agency. My thumbs are killing me this time of year from refreshing my Twitter feed to see what breaking news and rumors are coming, you know?
And if you're like us, you're excited about the Summer League, too, to see actually those guys actually play a little bit, too. We're Summer League junkies, too,
amazing.
Man.
Yeah, we'll be there. I just booked my trip, so we'll be out there. We'll have probably four reporters, cameramen. Are you guys going to be at Summer League?
No. We won't be out there, but, you know, say, because the Cavs, I mean, they would. Now, unless they trade into the draft, there's not a lot. I mean, and
right.
Let's be honest, Tyronn Lue doesn't trust anybody beyond LeBron James on that rotation. So that's all another issue.
I mean,
but
Tyronn Lue is a prodigy of Doc Rivers, so we know that style. Believe me, Doc would never play the young guys. It was always, as much as I miss him, it was always a frustration. And I see so much of Doc and Tyronn, and we've been around him for years because he was here for years. So good guy. Well, you know, underrated coach, because I think people really say, you know, LeBron is leading that team, and I think to a certain extent he is, but LeBron clearly has a lot of respect for Lou.
We want to thank you, Nick, for joining us on the podcast. Any shout-outs, anything else you want to mention? You talked about covering the Summer League, so let folks know where they can get the app, how they can follow on Twitter.
Totally appreciate that. So, it's a really good time to subscribe to CLNS Media on YouTube. Download the free mobile app because, like I said, we will not only be, you know, reporters and cameramen at Summer League, but we're also going to have reporters and cameramen down in Brooklyn on Thursday up at TD Garden. So we'll have a live call-in show going and then also a live TV show from the Greatest Bar, which is right across the street from Boston Garden. So a lot going on. Follow us on Twitter at CLNS Media. Follow me at CLNS_Nick. And there, believe me, I'll spam the hell out of you. You'll know exactly what's going on.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us, Nick. Good luck to the Celtics as long as they're not playing the Cavs, man.
Yeah, and ditto. Good luck to the Cavs as long as they're not playing the Celtics.
You can hear more of things like this on With an Ohio Bias. Be checking us out, withanohiobias.com. You can find us on iTunes, the full podcast on iTunes. Just search With an Ohio Bias. Give us a like, subscribe, and write us a review even. And we would really appreciate that. Thanks for listening, and we will talk at you next time.